podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
In this episode, we answer 30 Twitter questions.
Including, is Christian Benteke essential?
The Fantasy Football Show. Hello, listeners. Welcome to episode 12 of Planet FPL, the second season. My name is Serge.
And I'm James.
I've enjoyed this little break that we've had with no FPL.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
It has been a little break with the internationals and all the rest of it. This time last week was a very, very interesting episode. We called it the unhappy episode. I was stressed about West Ham. You're off the back of Watford beating Spurs. And it all feels like a little bit of a while away now.
We finished the podcast and honestly, me and Suj were like, fucking hell, that was shit. That was boring. But actually, listening back, it was a good pod.
Yeah, and I hit my wild card straight after that show.
So you are live?
I'm live on wildcard.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I did say to you, I mean, we haven't spoken
you
much about
lot,
it.
You say a lot of things, mate. Don't do it.
Straight in on that night I had it, and that night I had rises on Alonso, Pedro and Pereira. Pereira, I have no intention of keeping, but I wanted to see if I can steal a bit of money. So I'm on my wild card after that. But honestly, after that first day where there was a couple of price rises, it was Alonso, Pedro, Pereira and one other. We've had one price rise in the entire week since then.
Wow, it's been a bit more than that. I know Mane's gone up.
Mane was the main one. I don't think there has been any others. There's been a few flirting around. I don't know.
A few fallers, but nobody particularly very well owned.
The fallers were just
nothing
important at all. You're right.
Even none of our differentials have lost value in the last week,
which goes to show how quiet the transfer activity has been, despite the amount of people stressing about wild cards and who potentially were on wild cards. It's been pretty quiet.
Well, do you want to cover your plan then?
For the wild card?
Well, you've done this for a reason, presumably.
Yes.
And you're not alone, because there's a lot of people who obviously are on it at the moment.
Yeah, there are. So I had issues with Matt Lowton. Matt Lowton was not an option for me, and I actually lost the 0.1 in value. And I had Azpilicueta, who, whilst he was a good option, he was also expensive at 6.5. So I wanted to move away from Azpilicueta, and I could have gone two ways, either up to Alonso or down to Trippier, both very good options and better options than Azpilicueta. At the moment, I went to Alonso because his price also went up, and I'll see if I can nick another 0.1 out of him. Matt Lowton went to Luke Shaw, poor Luke Shaw, who bashed his head the other day.
That was horrendous.
But at 5.1, he proved to be, I thought Luke Shaw meant that I still had four defenders from the top six clubs. Robertson and Mendy I already had. And I think Shaw's a decent option. So my defensively, Wan-Bissaka will still be my cheap option. Robertson and Mendy are pretty much template. And I have Alonso and Shaw, and Alonso's pretty much template at the moment. And in midfield, Mo Salah out, as most people who are wildcarding are kind of doing.
Gone, yeah?
Yeah, Mo Salah is out at the moment. He hasn't seen any price movements as yet, so, you know, it is what it is. And I went to Mane and Hazard. I actually subbed out all five of my midfielders. So I had Salah.
And four other shit players.
Yeah, four other shit. I had Mkhitaryan, Salah, Gross, Walcott and Kennedy. Obviously, Gross and Walcott both injured. I went away from Salah. So now I've got Mane and Hazard. I've seen a price rise on both. Pedro and Pereira, who I have no intention of keeping, but I've seen a price rise in both. And I'm hoping we'll get another price rise and then probably move to Ramsey and someone else. And Schürrle. And then up front, I have moved from Wilf Zaha to Mitrovic and kept Aguero and Danny Ings. So I've, at the moment in my squad, Pereira and Pedro are not likely to stay in and will be moved along. And I've still got 0.6 million in the bank.
I think it looks okay. You've got days to finalise that yet. Yeah. Remember when you did your wildcard last year? I nearly cried on this podcast out of pain for you because I hated it so much. I don't hate that. the point I'd make is on your people like Pedro, who you've got your 0.1 pips on, is it does buy you some time.
Yeah.
It might not necessarily be your final choices, but he could sit there as a placeholder till Richarlison's fit, for example.
True. And Richarlison, and
you know that the price is safe. You're
potentially
not going to lose value.
Richarlison's on his way down to 6.6. He's not far off Delta moving down. The other thing with Pedro is if he stays in this week, they've got Cardiff at home. So he may end up staying in my finalised wildcard team for game week 5, and I'll use my free transfer in game week 6
Richarlison's at Arsenal game week 6, but then he's back, isn't he?
So. Exactly. So I'm not too worried. Like Pedro, I'll happily sit on. And Pereira's, I mean, he's getting a lot of interest. He's not a bad shout. And we've got quite a few Twitter questions around Watford. Which we'll get into, I'm sure. So
this year's Premier League champions.
I'm not overly excited with buying two Fulham players in the week they go away to City, but we shall see.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Mm. As it stands. So that's where I'm at. You obviously opted against wildcarding.
I've done fuck all, mate.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing. So good news for me.
Seen any price rises, price falls?
I've had a little bits on that. I've obviously continued on Pedro. Walcott's lost none of his 0.3 so far, which is remarkable. Big news for me today is Wilfried Zaha looks like he's going to rejoin training tomorrow, I've seen. So should be fit for the weekend. So that's really positive news for me. So it could well be that this week I would do something as simple as avoid the next loss on Charlie Austin and come down to 4.5 forward. I'm not sure yet. I've been quite relaxed about it the last few days. Just watching everyone lose their minds.
Some people have been.
Mainly over XG and Salah and all this nonsense.
Indeed. So, we've got a show coming out at you on Thursday, which will be the Game Week 5 preview. We still have a round of international games, so a few more people could bash their heads or legs or anything else in terms of injuries. So we're not going to really look into the Game Week 5 fixtures yet. We will be coming at you with those shortly. You know what? I just heard my phone vibrate. I'm going to switch it off before my missus rings and says, what time are you coming home for your dinner? So
Are you back in good books?
I'm in good books at the moment.
Marriage in the books at the moment. That's because West Ham ain't played for over a week.
That's because she heard that I wasn't taking her to the home game against Macclesfield.
Your rant on the last podcast, mate. Do you know how it was like 12 minutes or so, mate?
Well... I haven't listened back to it, so I think I don't want to stab myself. I'm in a woosah calm place after last week, so let's not go back to where we were a week ago.
No more West Ham.
Is that
your season tickets on the table?
They are. Three of them.
Shows how much she cares about his season tickets, just scattered on the desk.
No one around here is going to nick them.
No, mate.
Indeed.
Santa set fire to.
So, yes, we've got a show on Thursday where we're going to be looking in more detail at the Game Week 5 fixtures. But obviously, over the next couple of days, once the last international games are out of the window, anyone who is in a wild card, you're going to start having to keep more of an eye on the price rises and the price falls. There's going to be a lot of movement between now and Saturday. But we've got plenty of Twitter questions to get into. But before we do... Should we talk about XG?
Yeah, just briefly, because it seems to be such a... I haven't really got a lot to say on it. It's just a very hot topic the majority of our listeners will be on Twitter. It's a very big, hot talking point at the moment. I think out of nothing more than boredom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd tell you who summed it up best was an article that I retweeted yesterday by Bench Boost FPL. At Bench Boost FPL, did a really good article on sort of pros and cons of XG and XA, and summed it up really best. I'm going to use a bit of the article just to sort of emphasise this if I can find it. So essentially, if we have a player who's outperforming in their XG, expected goals, this could mean that they're a top-class player that is capable of finishing difficult chances, or they're scoring at an unsustainable rate. If we have a player that's underperforming in terms of XG, it could mean they're getting good goal scoring opportunities and are a threat, or they can't finish their chances. In essence, you can read into it whatever you want, because everything's got a positive and negative. My answer
spin, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah, you spin it however you want. I'm not against XG, not against XA. I think they're useful tools for people that want to use them, but that goes for any number of things. That's got to go. I'll tell you where it's useful is for teams you might not watch so much.
Mm.
So if you see suddenly, oh, Aaron Moyer's XG looks really high. Why is that? Oh, I've not been watching a lot of Huddersfield. That's what, it's no point looking at Salah's XG. You're going to watch nearly every Liverpool game anyway.
Yeah.
So it's useful for some of perhaps the lesser known players. And yeah, use it as a tool, but it's like anything else. Use your eyes as much as the stats.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. We've had a lot of questions in from Twitter. You're thinking about the relevance of this. Basically, a lot of the questions that we get are asking us opinions on decisions where there's as much of an argument to go one way versus the other. So our job really, we can't answer these questions. Like, our opinion is just our opinion at the end of the day. The thing that we can do, maybe because we're tapped into the Twitter community and the game and we spend more hours than maybe average Joe on it, is that we might draw your attention to something that you haven't potentially looked at, or just put something else into your thought process that you might not have been there before.
You and I are never going to be...
We're just predicting shit.
You and I are never going to be anything more than two people who love football and enjoy this game and talk about it and give our opinions. Please, we are not fucking experts. Yeah.
It's interesting when I read the questions, but we do a little bit of prep before we read the show, and I read the questions and I'm like, I don't bloody know. It's like a great, great question coming in from at Ricky Saunders. Hazard versus Salah versus Mane. I mean, you could make an argument for any of them, right?
If it's a triple threat, I'd be against Hazard because presumably Salah and Mane will tag team up.
Oh, what? Is it a fight?
Sorry, I'm going back to wrestling.
Yeah. Is it a fight? but obviously, with a lot of these...
Salah.
Anyone will give you stats. Like, Salah's stats are on fire. And if you look at FPL Canal, I think he's on... He should be scoring more points than anyone else, Salah, at the moment.
Yeah, his stats are still phenomenal.
Hazard has only started... Did he start three or two of the games? But
He started the last two.
Yeah, but assisted in the first two and two goals. And then a home gate tie against Cardiff coming up. So there's arguments for everyone, right?
The theory is that, like, Mane's numbers at the moment are unsustainable based on the underlying stats.
Where we heard that before. This time last year with Salah.
It's like, you know, everybody's saying, oh, Salah's, and I'm still with Salah all day, by the way, until I see something that changes my mind on Saturday at Wembley.
Mm.
Everyone's saying, oh, Salah's numbers are better than than his first four games last season.
Mm.
I haven't seen one person point out yet that Salah didn't start one of those games.
Mm.
So he's played about 60 less minutes. So his numbers should look better.
Yep.
So again, you'll read into it whatever you want to, not necessarily put a spin on it, but take it or leave it. I thought that the article by Bench Boost was a really good read to sort of sum up and say, look, take it or leave it, basically. It will either show you pros or negatives, depending on how you want to interpret the data.
Mm. This season, more than any, I feel like the high ownership players and the template has really formed itself quite early. So many people have so many of the same players with high ownership, and those players have kind of, to a large extent, delivered. I feel like a lot of the questions and the underlying sentiment within the FPL community is, when's it going to change? Or who are the people that are going to break through from lack of high ownership? Or when are the midfielders or the strikers going to start banging in points more than the defenders currently are? There's that real kind of uncertainty of, is it going to stay the way it is? Because if it is, everyone's already got the players that are scoring all the points.
It's not going to.
No, it never does. If that's football for you, right?
We know that, honestly, Alonso's numbers are probably unsustainable. The start that Mendy and Robertson have had is probably unsustainable. Salah versus Mane, it's up for debate. Salah probably, I'm sure, most likely will get more points, but then is it worth it in terms of the...
3 million at the moment.
The difference in price. Aguero, 51% ownership now. We know at some point he's going to get injured. What are people going to do then?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't believe that Sergio Aguero will stay fit for 38 games. I'd love him to, because then he will stay in my team all season. And what about, we've got a question coming up on it, Champions League rotation now. There were so many things that were about to change this game, and I think that's number one reason why I didn't wildcard.
Mm.
And I haven't got that many problems in my squad. That does help.
Yeah, of course. Should we get some Twitter questions?
There's a lot. I feel like we haven't had a good Twitter bash for ages. So
yeah,
let's
have a little bit of fun with this. There's a mixture of questions, some serious, some not. Some long, some not.
Are any of them serious?
I feel the pain for some people in some of their questions, and we shall get to them. If you have tweeted us a question, thank you. We always appreciate it. All of the support we get and the retweets on James's Twitter account at the FPL podcast are really, really appreciated. I dip in and dip out of Twitter. I haven't been on for a few days, so I don't even know what's going on there. But
what's that now on Facebook? You're running that.
Facebook, we're at 300 and something fans now, which is growing slowly
fans.
And steadily. Likers, fans, whatever it is, you know. But every episode is more than the last, and that's all we can ask for, right? One step forward. So first question coming in from at Migtavius. He wants to know, if Pinocchio said his nose was about to grow, what would happen? Discuss.
You first.
If Pinocchio said his nose was about to grow, he'd probably have a go at the press at the press conference, stand up and walk out.
Oh, that's a bit of a dig, isn't it?
Ah, sorry, yeah. But Jose sees the world in the way that he likes to see it. And I think he's a bullshitter, so there we go.
I'm going to get through this podcast. I'm not going to say anything detrimental about Jose Mourinho.
Or Man United?
I might have some Man United tips coming up, actually. So the question is, if Pinocchio
said his nose was about to grow, what would happen?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he'd be telling the truth.
But then his nose wouldn't grow.
That's fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah, that's something to think about.
I don't know where that relates to FPL, but that's a lovely question. Thanks
well,
for that, Nick.
Well, you did, rather than ask people if they had any questions about FPL, you just put out the comment, what should we talk about? And that's what Migtavius has come back with.
So it's
with.
The idea that he says if his nose is growing, then it won't grow.
Because he's not telling a lie. But then his nose only grows when he's telling a lie. So he's just told a lie all of a sudden that his nose is about to grow.
So, if I said I was fearful of your wild card, would my nose grow?
I have no idea.
It wouldn't.
Let's move on to at Peter V. Gray. Peter Gray wants to know, with most of my team, probably most teams as well now, being highly owned, what players are going under the radar?
Might be United.
Mm. They did put in a decent performance in their last game against Burnley. Their ownership's still low. I think Luke Shaw at 5.1 million is a good shout.
He's not going to play this weekend. It's important to say that under concussion protocol, he will not play in game week 5.
No, but I do think his price hasn't been at risk yet, and I don't think it will be because he is cheaper.
No, I think if you've bought him at 5.0 and United have got a decent run of fixtures coming up, I don't see why you would sell for the sake of the week. If
exactly.
You presumably got, you say, Wan-Bissaka away at Huddersfield or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think you're quite happy to use that this weekend.
Yep.
Watford.
I was about to say, the ownership across the Watford players is still relatively low, if you look at it. And we do have some questions about Watford a little bit later in terms of will their run be sustained. All I would say is, like, if you look at all of the match reports, they found a way of playing and they're sticking to their way of playing, and they haven't put in, it's not like they've fluked any of their games. They've deserved to win all of the games that they've played. So yes is the answer to, is it sustainable?
The XG would tell you that they didn't deserve to beat Spurs. Well, I'm telling you that they did.
The XG. I trust the old G.
You
rap
right.
Reference there. So I think in answer to that, yeah, Watford players. Potentially,
Arsenal.
You're saying stuff before it comes out of my fucking
Sorry,
mouth.
Mate.
Lacazette, obviously he fired in the last game. I think it lends itself to potentially him putting his hand up and saying, play me through the middle and play Aubameyang coming in off the left or off the right.
I'm so impressed
Lacazette.
He was the best player on the pitch. I said in the last pod, from what I saw at a game at Cardiff, I think he offers a better alternative to Aubameyang at the moment, leaves you an extra 1.5 in the bank. I think he's an interesting one. And
you'd consider Lacazette at 9.5 ahead of Firmino, for example, similar price.
This wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't tip up Aaron Ramsey, would it?
No.
I thought Aaron Ramsey was going in that wild card of yours.
He is, but he wasn't due a price rise, so I can jump across to him from Pereira at any time I feel with the money in the bank. So, yeah, that's definitely one to consider. I mean, the Bournemouth players in Fraser is still not massively owned. His ownership is still relatively... I think they're still going under the radar a little bit there, potentially. They haven't been doing too badly.
You expect them... The thing is, we say Bournemouth-Watford... With respect to them, you probably expect a flip in results now, don't you?
Yeah, you would. You wouldn't expect them to carry on at the rate they're going, but Watford have got a system of playing and they'll carry on.
Tell you one at Bournemouth, actually, I'd mention on the last pod, was Diego Rico. Current ownership, 0.0%. Played left back at Chelsea and created a couple of chances and looks like he's... I think Charlie Daniels picked up a knock as well, so he's definitely staying in the team.
Daniels' price was due to go. I'm not sure if it did go overnight, but it was looking like it was on its way down.
I can't offer you more of a differential than someone who's owned by 0.0%.
Yeah,
doesn't get more differential than that.
Yeah. There's still some players in and around Chelsea that don't have crazy high ownership that are worth considering. I still think Pedro's ownership is pretty low relative to the performances
in the current climate with the ownerships of, say, your Salah's, Mane's.
Yeah.
These guys of Hazard, Pedro, are sort of in and around 20%-ish ownership. They kind of offer that at the moment. It's a big weekend for people who are not on Hazard, Alonso, like I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be, and hoping they miss.
I'm hoping they don't, as it stands. So, next question coming in from at Ricky Saunders 77. I'm going to leave you to answer this first.
Must be a Spurs one.
It is indeed. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on where you think Son will slip back in. Will he start or will it still be Lucas? Will it be both?
How great was it that he won that tournament?
I wasn't paying any attention whatsoever.
All right, fine, moving on.
Because was it because if he didn't, he had to do military service or something?
Yeah, now he hasn't got to.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I'm not up for wars and armies and us shooting and killing each other.
You
sure? So
you want to get on Twitter sometime.
You want to shoot a few people on there.
XG. Yeah. Sonny, where would he fit back in? To be honest, Spurs should give him a couple of weeks off, tell him to fuck off somewhere and take a break. I saw he played for South Korea again at the weekend. So he just played at this tournament for what was essentially like an under-23 team. Won it. You thought he would have got some time off. Nah, nothing. Goes then, plays for the full national team as well at the weekend. I think that guy had next to no break in the summer from the World Cup. Went straight on tour to America. Spurs should give him a couple of weeks off. He is not going to be flying back into that Spurs team. Where would he fit in? I think you would, at the moment, with the current formation, you would see him and Moore as rotators. I think there is an option in certain games that Kane, which is a bone of contention at the moment. Have we got any Harry Kane questions?
I haven't read all of the questions, but I'm sure one might creep in.
All right, briefly on Kane. I looked into his numbers from the injury at Bournemouth in March. Now, before then, he was sort of averaging, looking at the numbers, here we go, about 6 shots per game, which is a lot. But since he returned from injury, I think it's including the World Cup, the back end of last season, the start of this season, he's only taking about half the shots.
Interesting.
Now, that's now over a considerable period of sort of, you could say, 4 months of football.
Okay.
4 months of football, where for whatever reason he's not shooting as much. And I don't think, why would you limit that guy? As soon as he gets within 25 yards, I don't think pass. I just think shoot, mate. I'm not convinced that having someone up front with him, as, say, Sterling was for a lot of the England games, as Moura has been at the moment, suits him. I think he's far more suited to, say, a 4-2-3-1 formation. I don't doubt Harry's ability, and I know the goals will come, but there is something in the stats that suggests something is not quite right at the moment.
Well, for most of last season, Son was always tipped as scoring at home and never away.
True.
And then was it Bournemouth that he banged in a couple of goals?
When Kane got injured, same
exactly.
Game.
Exactly. And Moura Moura is kind of plays on the break. If you look at it, he uses his pace and gets in behind. So there's every chance that they could be rotated depending on the fixtures, depending on whether it's home or away. I think Moura being flavour of the month at the moment makes it quite quick and easy to forget how good Son actually bloody is. And he scores goals and creates chances, and he's got pace and gets up and down, works hard. Very, very good player. So I don't think there's any, just because Moura's got the shirt at the moment, I don't think he's likely to keep it. But I think it might be horses for courses is what will happen with Spurs, and you'll see rotation. I can't see both playing unless Harry got an injury.
I think it depends on formation. So we haven't really used 4-2-3-1 yet. We were kind of forced into not doing that with what we had available at Newcastle. Then Lamella was injured as well. So any thoughts of having sort of Moura one side, Lamella the other, which, I mean, you know, eventually you could have sort of Son on the left, Moura on the right, couldn't you? There's no reason to say you couldn't play that way with sort of Ali behind Kane. Ali and Eriksen are both playing too deep at the moment. I especially don't like how deep Dele Alli is, because it's not harsh. It's not actually good enough footballer in deep positions. His best work is without the ball. And him being high always benefits Kane as well, because they do have a really good understanding in movement as much as how much they give each other the ball.
Definitely. Son is only selected by 1.4% of people at the moment, and he's seen two price drops this season so far. He's, I think a lot of people jumped on him without realising that he was off to the Asian Games.
No, I think he's selected by 1.4% of dead teams.
Exactly. So he's had two price drops. He's at 8.3 now. So he's come down. He's a similar price to Paul Pogba. You would probably consider him over Pogba right now.
Not yet, no. But
no,
Son,
when he's back and ready.
At some point in this season, Son will have a month where he fires.
For sure. I would agree with you on that.
And I think if you're asking me to sort of, between the two of them, come the end of the season, I think you'll see Son will have scored more goals.
I would agree with you on that too. Also, Ricky also asked that Hazard versus Salah versus Mane question. It's up there for grabs. The thing is, I had Salah, and by moving away from Salah, I can afford both Mane and Hazard. And most people will be able to potentially afford both, because it allows you to take a 7 million Ramsey or Mkhitaryan or whoever else, Pascal Gross, there's plenty there, to a Hazard.
The question is, let me put it to you. Let's say Liverpool and Chelsea had the same fixture this weekend. Say they were both at home to Cardiff.
Yep.
Who was your captain?
Out of Salah and Hazard?
No, Mane and Hazard.
Ooh. Both at home?
Yeah, same. Just say they had the same fixture, Cardiff at home.
Mane.
That's interesting.
I'd take Mane because Liverpool score more goals net-net.
All right.
Their goal-scoring record is just way better than Chelsea's.
There's no reason to think, in my opinion, that I won't end up with all three. I think a lot of that will depend on Aguero's fitness.
Mm.
If or when that injury happens, and it always happens with him, I think it's then a case of, do you go to Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you go to Kane? Or do you the third option, as I mentioned in the last pod, is
down.
Neither.
Yeah, go all the way down.
Build it up somewhere else.
Yeah.
Possible.
Right, next question's coming in from at FPL Addict 123. My fellow Hammer, come on, you irons. When do you see the big hitters in midfield coming to the fore more? Will the postman bring his Denmark form back to FPL and goals? I did read this question in advance. I was thinking, well, who's not bringing it? I suppose KDB's injured. City, you're still suffering from a little bit of rotation. Sanchez hasn't really fired yet. But Mane and Salah and Hazard have all bought it so far. Sterling's bought it so far. There's plenty that have.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's a lot that haven't.
Dele Alli has.
Yes and no.
19 yes points, no. 4 games, not
Eriksen,
too bad.
Eriksen, same as I always say, you got him in for his consistency.
Mm.
So don't stress. The fixtures for Spurs look all right.
Mm.
Over the next sort of 5 or 6.
Yep. So it's a difficult one to answer because he's asking us to predict the future. When will they come to the fore? I think they already are.
They are. Yeah. I mean, if you look at, Salah and Mane's ownership between them is about 90% now.
Mm.
So does that mean there are actually 10% of teams that don't have either?
Either of them. Quite possibly.
Therefore, they must all have Hazard.
Yeah. It's annoying that it's a 4 week kind of run, and then there's another international break. It's after game week 9, right? I think the
and
next
then that
international
happens
break.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. So this bittiness doesn't help teams get consistency, in my opinion. And now we've got European football coming into play as well. But we're well into the season now. I think most players are in some kind of rhythm.
My strategy pre-season, as everyone will know, was always going to be I was going to be on my wild card. Now I only looked at the first four fixtures, and anybody that I'm bringing in now, I'm only looking at the next four fixtures, which is why sort of United and Arsenal become tempting.
Mm. Next question, shall we?
Go.
At Utterly TC, Tom Campbell. Hi, boys. Just a general question. Knowing what you know now, after four game weeks, which one player in each position would you choose if you had to keep them for the rest of the season?
Oh, I like that.
If you had to keep them for the rest of the season.
I'll kick that off with Rui Patricio.
In goal?
Yep.
Ooh. I would go Alisson. I think Liverpool are going to keep a lot of clean sheets, and I think he's doing quite well. So I would have gone Alisson as my set-and-forget keeper for the season, had I known.
Defender, I'll still go. He's the least owned of the what do you call
him?
The trier. No, the trier, what they're calling it at the moment. Trifecta. The trifecta, yeah. I'd go Robertson, actually.
Yeah, I'd written down Robertson as well. There's a little bit of nostalgia in my choice on Robertson because he served me so well last season. But I think, yeah, he's going to have the consistency over the course of the season that maybe
Alonso will get the most attacking returns of the three.
But clean sheets and
Robertson
consistency.
Robertson will give you your consistency between sort of six and nines, I think.
Yeah, because we are talking about set and forgets. So midfield.
Yeah, so therefore Robertson. Midfield, that's a tougher one. Salah.
Sticking with that.
Yeah.
I've said Hazard.
I might well sell him after this week.
I said Hazard. Seems to have a little bit of hunger in him.
I don't know if you can. You need to catch Hazard when it's hot, don't you? That's hard. I don't know if you could have him in your team.
Well, he was hot at the back end of the World Cup. He looked like he had a bit of hunger.
He scored a great goal for Belgium the other night.
So I think based on the first four game weeks, two goals, two assists, and a little bit of hunger about him. And Sarri ball seems to be all right for Chelsea so far. I'd say Hazard.
Just briefly on Hazard, we mentioned this last year. I don't know if you remember. I was highlighting his performances around February, March. I think when I captained him at home to West Brom and I had a good return out of him.
Mm.
And it was sort of his last chance for me because I'd got in just before, I think, the double against Newcastle in December and then suffered a load of shit with him. Captained him on that Monday night and had a really good game week. But one of the things we spoke about was this idea that he and that football club need that constant rotation of managers to almost be motivated again. Hazard has been great season average, great season average. This could be a great season.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think Hazard. So there you go. And up front, set and forget.
Aguero if he's fit.
Aguero. I wrote down Aguero as well.
But
I've got a feeling he's going to have a banging season this season. Golden boot and the lot.
But if you're talking about someone you can leave in and forget, don't forget Firmino. I know he's not started great in terms of attacking returns, but if you want someone who's reliable, he's going to play nearly every week, he's not at sort of Kane price, I wouldn't rule that out.
Hmm. The other one that came to my lips when I was thinking about this, but I don't know where or why or any justification for this, was actually Arnautovic as the main striker for West Ham.
I knew you were going to say that.
I don't know why. I feel still drawn. It might be bias or emotion or all the rest of it, but I do think as a set and forget, we shall see what happens after game week 11 when our fixtures get a bit better.
It's nice to hear you say something positive about West Ham.
Yeah, I mean, we want to finish third from bottom at least. No,
I think I'm
bottom.
Looking at them from around about game week 20. Fabianski survives in my squad by default at the moment.
Yeah, I'm still hoping his price drops so I can buy him back.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, I've got Hennessy.
If he goes to 4.4 and you're on a wild card, it looks like his price will probably hold to the weekend. Yeah,
yeah, sadly. Right, next question.
No, not sadly.
Well, why?
I've got him.
Yeah, but sadly for me, because I've sold him for Hennessy and I want to buy him back.
You bought Hennessy? You're not...
placeholder.
Who
placeholder. I'm moving back to Fabianski
just
regardless.
Just quickly on your wild card. You're going Fabianski. Who would be your other keeper?
At the moment, it's Ryan.
All right, fine.
Mm, at the moment. Goalkeeper's probably one of the positions that I pay the least attention to. I think for most people it probably
well, you
is.
You should, yeah. I'd sent a tweet last week. We'll cover this a bit on Thursday's pod about pairings, because I want to do a bit about that on a tweet I'd covered last week. West Ham's pair is Southampton. So I don't know from that point of view. When we say the pairings, all we're saying briefly is like they're coupled, so they don't both play away on the same weekend. So when West Ham are away, Southampton will be at home.
Yeah, yeah.
But with a keeper like Fabianski, you're not too bothered to sort of stick him in the away games. Mm. So he gets points anyway. What did he get at Liverpool opening day?
Fabianski?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. I haven't got it up in front of me.
He's looking at fucking Alex McArthur.
Yeah, I mean, because that's your pair, right? If you're looking at pairings, that's who you're looking at. He only got one.
Oh, right. Fuck that then. But he got five at Arsenal, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, five at Arsenal, three against Wolves. But McCarthy's not a bad shout as a option. He's always teetering on the point of going up to 4.6 and hasn't yet.
If I was wildcarding and I was looking for a pair, that's the pair I'd go to.
Yeah.
If people are thinking, why wouldn't I go Patricio, who I've said would probably be a keeper, forget, is their pair is Everton.
Mm.
I wouldn't want to go Patricio and Pickford because Pickford's 5 or 4.9, whatever he is.
Yep.
So you wouldn't want that pair.
Mm-hmm. Next question, because we've got plenty to get through.
They're not actually. I'll tell a lie. They're paired with Leicester. Sorry, with Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah. At Paul Gibbons 43, Gibbo, and he wants to know which bandwagon players to avoid.
Oh,
it's quite a tough one. I mean, look, there was a bandwagon jumping on. There's a bandwagon jumping on Lucas Moura. Bandwagon jumping on Theo Walcott. Yeah, I mean, they're the current trends at the moment, right?
The first name that actually sprung to my mind when I heard that was actually Hollibas.
Mm.
Was the first name that sprung to mind. If you've got him, and he's the most bought defender this week, Hollibas, even more than Alonso, Jesus. If you're looking at players that are getting really bought at the moment, I think all those defensive are fine. Lucas Moura, actually.
To avoid...
People have listened to the last few pods. I just think the United game was well set up for him to do what he can do, turn on the halfway line and get at people. He's not going to get too many chances to do that. Ruben Neves is one to avoid for me, to 5.2 now.
If you're looking at transfers in for all time, I mean, Lucas Moura is, the seventh most transferred in player this season so far. Neves coming in at 11th, Hollibas at 12th. Mkhitaryan still up there in the top 20 transferred in players.
Jean-Michel Seri. At Fulham, 5.4. So 63,000 transfers in this week. Seems a bit daft when you can have Schürrle for 0.5 more.
Mm. What's your views on Pogba? He's had two price rises this season so far. Nearly 600,000 people have transferred him in the first four game weeks.
Say that again, sorry.
Paul Pogba.
Avoid.
Mm, especially with the stuff coming out in the media.
It's not unthinkable that I start the weekend with Jesse Lingard in my squad. I know what people are thinking. You said completely avoid them, but you've got to be prepared to be flexible. I've really got my eye on Jesse Lingard.
Mm. What's your views on Bernardo Silva? He was a real bandwagon after game week two. His price is due to fall.
He's picked up a knock as well. That's part why.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon. That's potentially one to avoid.
Well, it was the cheap way in, wasn't it?
Mm.
And completely inevitable after he scored at Arsenal on the opening day.
And then David Silva was the one that was tearing it up.
Did you not jump in?
On Bernardo?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No, because I couldn't afford to.
I don't think it was necessarily a bad move. I think the frustration with Bernardo would be the last few weeks is that you've seen him in this sort of really wide right-hand side position, sort of hugging the touchline. I mean, at Huddersfield, he basically played as a wing-back and he was really high. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't effectively a wing back, but in terms of formation setup, that's essentially what he was. At Newcastle, he stayed off the right in basically a 4-4-2, nearly the whole game. That would be frustrating. But if you've got attacking talents in City's team, what do you do if you come off Bernardo? Where are you going? Richarlison, when he returns?
Yeah.
You going to like a Ramsey?
You could probably afford Mkhitaryan or Ramsey.
I think if I got on at 7.0, I'd weigh it out.
With 7.5.
Oh, 7.5, sorry.
Yeah, there's still 0.1 to go before he drops
back down. He's at 7.6 at the moment,
yes,
isn't he?
Yes,
if I was putting him at 7.5, I'd wait on the injury news. If he's definitely going to be out, and they're at home, you'd feel compelled to sell, I think.
His ownership isn't taking the piss. 8.6%.
Nah, if he's fit, he'll play. It was interesting, FPL Canal's article that he did on the website a couple of weeks ago highlighted that, like, irrespective of minutes, he's constantly picking up odd returns as well, if you can put up with that, Bernardo.
Mm.
Doesn't seem affected. It's not like he only gets returns when he starts games. He does get returns off the bench as well.
He does. Next question coming in from I'm a cassette.
Are you?
At Walcott Hussein on Twitter. Yes, I am a cassette. Rewind. Factors to look at before unleashing the wild card. So, shall I?
Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah, go on.
So the first thing is obviously how many players do you want to get out of your team? Like, are you fixing problems or are you making upgrades? And there needs to be a critical mass. We say at least probably five players that you want to change. Like, well, if you've got only two or three, four is a kind of grey area. But if it's only two or three, you can probably make those moves with your free transfers over the course of a couple of game weeks without playing your wild card. And then factor in, of those five or six changes that you're going to make, how many of them are starters, you're starting 11, and how many are on the bench? Because again, you want the vast majority, if not all, to be potential starters. So, like, are you making changes and improvements because you're trying to fix problems or make improvements? Obviously, I had the situation of three injuries in Walcott, Gross and Zaha. On top of that, I wanted to make a few moves. I'd price drops as well. So firstly, yeah, are they really improving and affecting your team? And then you've got to keep an eye on price rises and price drops, because two of the players that I'm going to keep in my squad have already risen in price, and I reckon that there's a couple of others that I can potentially get price rises out of. So if you've got a situation where you're losing value on one side and gaining value on the other across three players, 0.1 on each, could be like $500,000 eventually. That can have a serious impact in your squad. So timing is key. Timing is key with that. So those are the kind of factors. And then if you are picking your teams, obviously look at the fixtures 4 or 5 weeks out.
I mean, it depends who those players are as well. So, I mean, if you're unfortunate, I mean, I'm sure if you had Kevin De Bruyne, you would have sold by now. But if you'd been in a position where you had a few players like that, De Bruyne, Firmino, perhaps underwhelming at the moment, although I think that will likely change.
Players that have a large part
value
of your budget
as well, and you see the sort of Mane's, Hazard's doing their thing, then yes, you feel compelled. Looking at my squad, I mean, so relieved that I didn't panic and do it, because if Zaha and Walcott are past fit this weekend, the only person really I'm desperate to get rid of is Charlie Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all right.
Yep. I mean, one of the moves that I made was Azpilicueta to Alonso. It's not necessarily a massive upgrade. That's kind of the kind of move I'm making because I'm on my wild card and I can. But if I was left with Azpilicueta for this weekend, I wouldn't really be arguing or complaining.
No, I mean, if I had no problems at all in my squad, I would make a move, and I might still do it, is Van Dijk to Alonso, but I get really stuck on the idea that I've missed his price rises. It's the idea of going without him this week. I'm sure I will. If Zaha and Walcott are past fit for the weekend, I'll probably leave Van Dijk on the bench at Spurs.
Interesting. Next question coming in from FPL Barstool Profit. At Profit FPL. So, nice. Non-template team making. That's the question. I think it's just that.
This is where we talk about our fucking differentials.
That's the thought that just went through my mind. How quickly can we get off this question?
We're going to make two transfers this Thursday.
Should we talk about a zombie team? I'm trying to change the subject.
Hold on, one sec. We're going to make two transfers this Thursday on the podcast for our differential team, because we've got two, I believe.
Yeah.
And then there's every chance we are wild card in that differential shit, because the fixtures still look all right this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Do you want to talk about the zombie team? We got a shout-out on who got the assist, mate. Did you hear that?
I did hear it.
That's
nice. Massive thank you to Tom and Nick on that. Yeah, Tom and Nick, Nick and Tom.
Nick and Tom.
Yeah, very kind. But yeah, we're eighth. Don't worry, we're climbing up slowly.
Did you hear what they said about us, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danger.
Ozil, Ericsson and Arnie aren't even firing yet.
Yet. Can you imagine? We're sitting here saying we've got fucking...
team kills it.
We're sitting here cursing Arnautovic and Ozil, and they're saying, yeah, these boys are going to come good. Well, let's cross our fingers that we rise to the top.
It's looking all right, mate. Yeah, but at the moment, like,
if we do,
we've gone without Salah, we've got Mane in it, and we've captained Aguero. So at the moment,
what happens if we rise to the top of their zombie league?
If we win that,
do we swap podcasts so they get they'll do Planet FPL, we'll do Who Got the Assist?
I think that would make both respective podcasts rather shit.
I agree with you. But yeah, personally, do have a listen. And if you haven't got a zombie team, well, it's a bit late now, really, to be joining their zombie
league.
No, it's
closed. I know it's closed. You can't join it now.
Yeah, you can't. And you'd have missed out on 4 weeks' worth of points. Yeah. But, you know, fingers crossed. Cross your fingers for us.
If we win that league, I will feel immortal. The complete opposite of dead.
Yes, indeed. So non-template team making. Well, I don't know why you'd want to. When template players are performing so well.
But if you've
got
to catch up.
Yes, but then it's like,
you've got to do something different.
You do, but the Mendes, Robertsons, Alonzos of the world are still going to keep banging in points. So six or seven of your team. I'm all for six or seven or eight of your team being safe picks and go with two or three wildcard crazy picks. But you can't pick 11 non-template players or 11 wildcard players.
No, you've got to have some.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
Ings is mine, for example.
For example, at the moment, with fixtures, you could not possibly, with all... I want to get Kane in my squad, really. There's no physical way you could come off Aguero at the moment with the next three fixtures. It's not until an injury or the end of game week 7, you look at afters, and then you might decide you want to make a decision.
Yep.
You couldn't come off at the moment. So that's someone you, in my opinion, in terms of forward position, you've got to have. Salah Mane is obviously causing a mass debate at the moment.
Moving on, yeah, but it is. Oh, I get it. I think at least 7 or 8 should be template. Or template being your safe picks.
I don't know about that many. What I would say is I wouldn't... At the moment, look at the fixtures, look at how happy you are with the squad, who you want in. You're looking at mini league positions at the moment, particularly if you've still got that wild card in hand.
Yep.
Then you can do things differently.
You love the fact that you've still got your wild card.
I can't believe that I'm actually here. And also, no intention to use it anytime soon. If Zaha's injury especially is all right.
Yes. Next question is coming in from at Lewis Huitsen. Forgive me if I pronounced it.
I'm sure that you've butchered it.
Lewis Huitsen.
Sorry, Lewis.
Huitsen. He has 8.7 million to spend on a midfielder, already has 3 City. Where would you go? Pedro, Lucas Moura, Pogba, or AN other? And let me run you down the top 10 options in terms of based on price. You've got Ozil, Son, Pogba, Bernardo, Ramsey, Willian, Sigurdsson, Keita, Moura, Mkhitaryan, Shaqiri, and a shitload of others. But those are the top based on price at the moment.
Ramsey.
I would agree with you. Ramsey. I think Pogba has the potential to tear it up, but I don't think you can rely on him and Manchester United.
I'll tell you who was good at the weekend I saw bits of was fucking Shaqiri for Switzerland.
But you just don't see how he's going to get into their
starting. 6-0. But the Champions League rotation's coming.
Yeah, and Shaqiri's had some price drops already as well. He's down to 7.2 from 7.5.
Key point just on Liverpool's though, the spacing of the games, particularly the next few, is not too bad. So they play, obviously, at Wembley on Saturday and then play PSG, I believe it's at home, I think, on the Tuesday. You would imagine that Klopp would want to go as strong as possible for those two games. It's then a 4-day break to Southampton. So that's a decent break. And the midweek after is the League Cup game. That's when he's going to rotate the whole squad.
Yep.
And then it's league again. So actually, the spacing is not that bad for Liverpool once you get beyond. Could make a couple of changes at Spurs or against PSG, but it won't be mass changes. And then, like I said, big 4-day gap to Southampton. That's the one everyone's worried about. Or will he leave Salah out against Southampton? Can't see it with a 4-day gap and then League Cup in a week. Salah won't play the League Cup game.
No.
Even though they've drawn Chelsea, he'll rest the whole team.
And so will Chelsea. So it's still make it a decent contest.
I would have thought so.
Yeah. Also coming in from Lewis, how to deal with injury news. For example, wait on Zaha till Friday. good sources of early news, etc. Or also how to play and get best overall score and how to cover your mini league so you beat your mates. Well, if we knew that, I'd be a rich man.
The news today would appear to show, for example, that Zaha's fit.
Mm.
Once Ben Dinner retweets it, I feel a lot better, and that's now happened.
So that's that, one. That makes me feel like it's a good sign. How do you deal with injury news? Follow Ben Dinnery.
Yes, that's certainly a very good way to follow injury news. Particularly during breaks like this, there's another host of games tonight, tomorrow night, where things can happen. You see what's happened to Luke Shaw in a completely innocuous, sickening incident. And your player's gone for the weekend. So, yeah, if you can avoid it, particularly with the travelling, one thing to be careful of is check your guys, particularly coming back from South America. Like a few of the Brazilian lads, maybe check on sort of where they're coming from, when they're arriving back. That's always one to be conscious of, particularly in the earlier parts of the season like this. So, yeah, wait as long as possible.
Indeed.
Really, ideally. Unless you're in a real price concern. I think if anybody's like taken Zaha out of their team and been a dickhead like you, that's up to you, Sij.
Yeah, but I lost no value and I'm still on my wild card. So I can do what the fuck I like.
Are you going to put him back in?
Nah, because the bandwagon's for Mitrovic at the moment.
It is. I'm hoping to make a little bit of money off of Mitrovic. So let's wait and see. Do you know how many pages of Twitter questions we have?
Keep going.
Three, and we've done one.
Well, keep going.
So let's hurry the fuck up now, shall we? Let's talk a little bit faster. And I've just looked at the next Twitter question. This will speed it up. Coming in from at JWez3001, JWez Fantasy. Is Benteke a must-have in FPL?
Yes.
I think that's the only answer to that question.
Get him in. Zaha's fit. Get him in. Actually, I've heard Benteke's got a knock as well.
So definitely get him in because you might even lose some value.
There was a few of the shooties already looked and gone, Zaha's doubtful, Benteke's doubtful. Maybe this is it for Sorloth.
4.5. Yeah. He's 4.5, right? He's 5.
He's probably 4.9 now, I don't know.
But if both of those two were injured, you would jump on Sorloth, wouldn't you, really?
Well done for the question, because if Sij was drinking a cup of tea, he would have just choked on it.
Yeah, quite possibly. Right, next question's coming in from our friend in LA, Just Gabrielle. For those of us on a wild card, which includes me, please examine the following approaches. This seems like I need to write an essay about. Big backline, Mendy, Alonso, Robbo, +1. B, big midfield, Salah, Hazard, Mane, David Silva. Big front, Aguero, Mitrovic, Lacazette, or hybrid from the above. Two defenders, three midfielders, Ings rather than Lacazette. Thanks as always.
Sorry, I was just thinking about player hybrids and what they might look like.
Well, if you smashed Lacazette and Mitrovic into each other.
I don't know, Salah's perm on Mitrovic.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you've got the one I'd say there, look, go with what you believe. I think if you're on the wild card, you have to go that free defensively of Robertson, Mendy, Alonso. If you're on it now, you have to go that way, I think.
That's what I have.
Yeah, you have
it
to.
Still allows you enough money to go with two heavy hitting midfielders, Mane and Hazard.
The others are open
one
for
attacker.
Debate, and I'm going to help you here, Sij. There's every chance Trippier won't play this weekend for Spurs.
Yep.
Last season when we played Liverpool in the home game, he played Ori at left back, Trippier played at right back. I wouldn't see that happening this time, but there's every chance, looking at the fixtures that are coming up, what we've got in the Champions League, I'm pretty sure he'll want Trippier to play the because our first two Champions League games are Inter Milan away and Barcelona at home. I would have thought he'd want Trippier to play in them too. There's every chance Ori will be getting a bit of a run in the league at the moment. Alonso is foolproof from rotation as far as I can see, because I can't see them going for it in Europe early doors. Mendy's a concern. Robertson will generally be all right. That's my take on it, but I think you have to go that free. Just make sure you've got Wan-Bissaka and a other play. Don't be Peltier. Like, Bennett's a good choice at the moment from Wolves at 4, but I don't know how long he's going to stay in there. I think it's risky to go both. I'd want to go, if you're going Wolves for example, someone more like Bolly or Doherty, who look more nailed longer term, just to cover yourself up.
Yep. Next question's coming in from at @FPL_wildfire. Who do you think will comprise the overall dream team by the end of the season? So that's an interesting one. We had to pick 11 players. Who do you think would be the top scoring, regardless of price, regardless of anything? What formation are we going to go with? A 3-5-1?
Just reminded me, I saw a stat that Peter Cech had attempted about 50 more passes than any other goalkeeper so far this season.
Attempted being the being the operative word.
Suicidal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Top scoring goalkeeper. Go on, then.
Alisson.
I'll go with that, yeah.
Yeah, Alisson. You're going to have Robertson, Mendy and Alonso in your back three for sure.
No, this is bullshit. Lloris in goal. Back five of Trippier, Vertonghen, Sanchez, Alderweireld, Ben Davies. Do you want me to keep going?
What, why are you just picking the Spurs team?
Midfield four of Son, Moura, Eriksen, Ali and Harry Kane up front. That'll do you, won't it?
You think that'll be the top point scoring?
No, I don't. Goalkeeper, I'd go Alisson, yeah. Mm. Robertson, I still think it'd be top scoring defender.
Yeah, and Mendy and Alonso are not going to be far behind.
They've got to go in there at the moment.
Mm. Salah, Mane going to be up there, and yeah. Hazard.
Yeah.
And A City Kevin midfielder.
Kevin De Bruyne to come back and
just kill it.
Fuck everybody.
I'm going to have him in my team when he's back.
Mate, FPL Prince got a very large tweet the other day tweeting, oh, who's going in? And it's like everyone, mate, as soon as he's fit. He's down to 9.7, Kevin De Bruyne, and he probably won't go much more because I think his ownership's about 1% now.
Yep.
So it'll probably settle around 9.7, maybe 9.6. But yes, as soon as you see him with boots laced up, he's going back in, mate.
Mm. Midfield as well. Anyone else?
You said Hazard, didn't you?
Yeah, Hazard, Mane and Salah.
Can't see any of the United or Arsenal pushing to sort of 150 to 175 plus. Can't see that.
Pick a couple of strikers. You've got to go Harry Kane.
Aguero, Kane.
And that's it.
Aguero, Kane.
Yeah, you'd like that team, wouldn't you? Aguero, Kane. Hazard, Mane, Salah.
Sorry, we've got $200 million budget now.
Yeah,
we?
Something like that. Yeah. Indeed. There you go. That was quick. We didn't spend too long on that, but it'll take a little bit of time if we're really going to debate it out. At KiwiNick_FPL, no prizes for guessing where Kiwi Nick is from. I reckon he's from New Zealand. New Zealand.
Careful, mate.
Best under 7 million midfielder. A few have crept under 7 million because they've lost their price recently.
I puffed my cheeks out there because that's such a... There's so many in that bracket, isn't there? The two Everton boys, Pedro, James Maddison at Leicester, a lot of people keep mentioning.
Gross has dropped below, but he's obviously not a consideration. Felipe Anderson at West Ham's dropped below. Yarmolenko's dropped below.
I think Pedro... Like, if you want of them the weekend.
Yep.
Richarlison is obviously the one to keep an eye on and see what happens when he comes back.
He's down to 6.6 at the moment. I think Maddison... Real drop in price.
Maddison is almost, if you go in, he's almost set and forget. He's the one where, I think, unlike the others who you'll get small explosions from, like Richarlison, James Maddison could be someone who just sits in your team now throughout. And they've got a good run of fixtures for a while now, Leicester. Really positive spell.
He's very low ownership at 3.2%.
It is low.
Is he in our...
There's nobody outside. No, he's not, but he will be when we wildcard.
Why is
there's
he
nobody
not?
Outside. What do you mean, why not?
I think I feel like he's the player that you've spoken most about this season on the show.
I am a fan. I like what I've seen of James Maddison.
He is to you, what Ward Prowse is to me.
But I didn't like their first four fixtures.
Mm.
I think Madison's, he's a better FPL talent than James Ward-Prowse.
Quite possibly. Shall we? Next question. So, yeah, there's a few there, but I think we're saying what?
Madison
is one to consider.
Pedro for the weekend, Madison sit and hold.
And Richarlison when he comes
watch
back.
When he returns, and Jesse Lingard is there, isn't he?
Yeah, 6'9". He is. 6'8".
What's Jesse Lingard's ownership?
6'8", 3.3%.
Yes, enticing.
Mm, it is. He just hasn't had the minutes yet. That's the thing with Jesse Lingard. So
it'll come.
It will. Moving on, next question. At Life Eat Life, Chris Tan.
You did this last time.
Yeah, but the way it looks, it's a funny word to read.
Life Eat Life.
Yeah, it could be Lif Teat Lif as well.
Sorry, Chris.
Yes, indeed. Chris Tan. Give Mickey one more week or trade.
Nah, fuck him off, mate.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. He's out of my wildcard team. Best replacement up to 8.5 million. And why? E.g., excluding Pedro and Theo, I think he's probably already got those for the next 4 weeks. Dilver, Maddison, Pereira, Jlings, Pogba, Moura,
that's different. Fraser. So if we assume which two players, you say Walcott and Pedro.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want another one that's... You wouldn't want Madison at that value as well. Because no. If it's going wrong with them, then you can move to, say, Madison, Richarlison,
I would
whatever.
Say Dilver, probably.
David Silva, it's...
Yeah, their fixtures, they're still in their run of...
He's 8-5. Can you go up to 8-5?
He's 8-5. Chris has put him into the list.
Get David Silva in, mate.
And they've still got that decent run of fixtures coming up now. So he's 8-5, David Silva.
8-5 ownership.
Is at 6.9%.
Love that.
Indeed. Right, next question coming in from Lone Wolf. I'm not even going to bother with the...
Peleliu Islander.
Indeed. Well done, James. Why am I doing this fucking job over here?
I don't know, mate.
Not having Mitrovic is stressing me out. Are there really no weaknesses in his style of play, as indicated in the analysis? And on this tweet that attached was like
have a look at the tweet.
Graphic.
I saw that. It was an attachment from, I think it's whoscored.com, who they list players' weaknesses and strengths. And currently at the moment, Mitrovic has no weaknesses, apparently. I mean...
apart from playing at Fulham.
Sorry, is he blessed with pace all of a sudden? Mm. I tell you, weaknesses he's got is his temper. Might
True.
Come back and bite him.
He's got Ings himself at the moment and wishes to keep it that way until wildcarding. I mean, look, Mitrovic is not expensive. What he's at 6'7", 6'8". He's not in the premiums. So
what helps
you're not going to miss
what
a
helps
massive
with
wave.
Mitrovic and, say, Schürrle with Fulham. That's why I was surprised to see the amount of transfers Seri's had in this week. That's huge, 60,000 plus.
Yep.
Admittedly, he's a goal and an assist in his last two games, by the way, to level that out. But you'd only be looking at them too from Fulham, wouldn't you? Schürrle, you wouldn't consider Sessegnon at the moment.
No.
So you wouldn't look at them defensively.
No.
I think despite the fact they've had a decent start, they've given away a sackload of chances at the other end as well. So if you're looking at them, you're only looking at their
attacking.
Mm.
True. Next question coming in from @gto101. How many players for captain enablers should you have in your squad? So he have Aguero, Hazard, Salah and Mane currently. Would swapping Salah to a cheapie to upgrade Ings to Aubameyang make sense? I mean, a team with those four in there already is decent.
Yeah, crack on.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd want to Salah for Aubameyang, especially based on Aubameyang's current points return.
The argument is, and I covered this a bit in pre-season.
Who'd you captain?
The Mane problem. If you have Mane and Salah, have you really got the cojones to have Mane? And that's why I asked you the Mane Hazard question earlier, and I was pleased that you said Mane, because then for me that 10 million makes it worthwhile if you're happy to be captain.
Yes, for sure.
If you've got Mane and Salah in the same squad, I still don't believe you've got the cojones to ever put that captaincy on Mane.
Agreed.
And therefore you have to question the validity of having him in the squad with Salah.
Yep.
Because it's expensive. If you've got players who are ranked at 10 million, he's now 10 million and above, and you're never going to captain him, you have to consider the value of the bigger spread. So I understand the question of what he's saying now, because obviously suddenly selling Salah opens up to then rotate between the fixtures, whether you'd go, say, Hazard this week, Mane at home to Southampton in game week 6.
I can see my midfield having De Bruyne, Hazard and Mane at some point soon.
De Bruyne's an interesting one because rarely would you captain him.
It's interesting, but he's still so consistent in his points hauls.
Of course. But very unlikely to do a Kane.
199 points last season. Two seasons ago, 209 points last season. You're looking at sort of an assist every other game. He's going to get you an attacking return 2 out of 3.
It's an absolute machine, mate. 39 assists the last two seasons.
19 clean sheets last year for that little extra point. That
Yay, 19 points. Do you reckon West Ham will get that?
Oh, I don't know. What was Derby's record for shittest points haul ever? 11,
Derby finished on 11.
Yeah.
4 of those points were against Newcastle.
I honestly don't know. But let's move on because we've got plenty to get through. Adam Leatherbarrow @Adam_LDesign.
I feel like I'm going to be taking the questions back off you soon.
Well, the people have got long Twitter handles. agenda topics. Right. golden oldies, 30 plus players worth punting on for FPL. There's one, isn't there?
What, David Silva?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you was thinking?
Yeah, yeah. Without a doubt, David Silva's got to be main man there. Aguero's
30 now.
Yeah, he's getting on a bit.
Huh.
Yeah.
Consistency.
Still younger than both of us and still, yeah, scoring goals in the Premier League. But yeah, I think David Silva is the one. I don't know if there's that many players in that old bracket nowadays.
If you'd want to consider someone like Holly Bass. I mean, most of them are going to be... Vertonghen is 31 or 32. I mean, you exclude keepers here, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say goalkeepers is where they do.
Vertonghen, I don't know, is that a golden oldie? 31,
well, I don't
32.
Even know if there's that many old goalkeepers
your
nowadays.
Your old mate, Murray Mintz,
yep.
He's pushing on for a Zimmer frame soon, isn't he?
Mm, I'm sure Fabianski must be over 30 now as well. We are excluding goalkeepers, but I don't know how many other goalkeepers there are over 30. Czech, but you wouldn't consider him.
Murray Mintz is a shout, isn't he?
Mm, yeah, I'll go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Picking players who...
From game week 9, though. Just saying.
And he also asks about picking players who have achieved 100-plus points per season in the last 5 years. I don't really know what the question is.
So would have had to get 100 points in the last 5 seasons?
Mm, I don't know how many there will be who have played full seasons.
There won't be many of that. I mean, Kane's breakthrough season was 14-15.
Mm.
Aguero... I bet Aguero is in the last 5 years.
Kane hasn't done it 5 in a row. He's done it 4.
Yeah, 14-15 was his breakout. Mm-hmm. Have a look at Aguero's numbers. You just add it up, mate.
Yeah.
I bet he's got well in excess of that for a long time.
Oh, you're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons
right,
in a
row. We're just going to go back. Aguero's points.
From 2011-12.
169, 175, 184, 216, 156, 121. Very restricted minutes. 211 in 11-12.
Yes.
Now, you want consistency, mate. That's why he's in the team, mate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he between the last two seasons is 169 and 175. So only 6 points difference. He played 500 less minutes last season. He still managed to get up to 169 points.
So last year, 21 goals, 6 assists from, what's that, just under 2,000 minutes?
Yes. 22 bonus points last season.
That's astonishing.
Mm. He's had more than 20 bonus points in the last 5 seasons
but
as well.
Just interestingly on Aguero, what's his most minutes there per season?
He managed 2,532 minutes. No, sorry, 2,576 in his first season, 11-12.
And has he ever got near that again?
Yep, 2,532. In the 2 seasons that he got close to 2,500 minutes, both topped 200 points.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sergio, all the way.
Yeah, top dog. I mean, he's it's always been the same with him. I kind of gave up on him to start last season. The 4-3 at Liverpool really made me question, but I think he's got his hunger back again now.
Mm.
I think he knows if he leaves City, he's not going to get a better move.
True.
He'd probably end up back at Atletico or something.
Yeah.
But say there was plenty of talk like Real Madrid or Barcelona a few years ago. That wouldn't be on the table now,
no,
I don't think.
He's not
sort of 30. So it's in his interest to do the thing. I have to say, I saw an interview with him the other week as well, and the bastard still can't speak fucking English. Like, what's going on? He's been here how long?
Oh, who
Six,
knows?
7 years?
Have you seen who he keeps indoors? I don't think she speaks English. I don't think he needs to learn English either. If you had that waiting for you at home every day, would you bother? Would you bother? You wouldn't, would you? So
my mum listens to this.
Oh. Hello, Mrs. Linden. Next question. Okay, carrying on. Adam's still got a few more questions, actually. Cheekily getting a few in. I love it when people do that.
This was a good one.
Yeah. Based on the... And this one's for you, mate, because I've watched very little international football. Based on their international break performances, which player would you now include in your squad?
Oh, I wouldn't get influenced on that. I watched England the other night. I actually missed the first two goals. I thought it was 8 o'clock kickoff. Shows how much, imagine me missing the start of England. That's how much I gave a shit about it.
Yeah.
So
we're not much help
here.
I
saw little bits of Switzerland Saturday. Shaqiri, like I said, was very impressive.
He's just not going to get into the team.
I watched the second half of Denmark Wales yesterday. I was kind of keeping an eye on Ramsey as much as anything. Nothing on international. You've got to remember as well, take Ali's position for England. There's nothing to say he's going to play in that position for Spurs. Jesse Lingard, probably a better example, is going to play higher up the pitch for Man United, I would have thought. So playing so many different systems and stuff now that teams play. Very rare that international football can correlate to a club-level expectation.
Agreed. Final question from Adam. And I do appreciate you asking this, even though it causes a little bit of pain. Last one, come on. Also, a cheeky West Ham win against the Richarlison-less Everton this game week? Question mark.
Are you asking me?
Well, I don't want to answer it. I'm not going to jinx anything by saying yes or go against my team by saying no. I'm going to just, I have no comment on that.
No.
You don't see it?
No.
I don't. No.
Even with Everton, we're very poor against Huddersfield.
Yeah, I think it would require a poor Everton performance for West Ham to win. So, I mean, it's possible. I wouldn't be putting any money on it, though, if you have any that you want to gamble with.
Oh, no.
Next question, mate. Coming in from John Smith Spurs, FPL Crate Digger. This is Salah, and says Salah about another 50 times.
Okay.
Wildcard active and not stressing about it at all. So obviously I think he's trying to say that he's got his wildcard active and he has no fucking idea whether to keep Salah or not.
That's exactly what I'd read into that. Everybody's decision is personal. One of the main reasons I haven't wildcarded as well is that I've not had to make that decision. I don't see how you could come off yet.
No, but if you are wildcarding, then, you know, based on the current fixtures, maybe.
But I absolutely understand, completely highlighted correctly, Suj, when you say Salah versus Mane and Hazard, which, all right. But that's essentially what you'd be doing is something like that, isn't it? I think if you come off Salah, you're definitely going to have them too, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Most likely in most cases. So, yeah, that's kind of the argument, isn't it?
Yep. Next question coming in from Nacho Man Cabbage. Fucking hell. Nacho Man Candy Cabbage.
Have you just butchered one of our Amigos' names, mate?
Nacho Man Candy Cabbage.
It's done from the Amigos, isn't it?
At the Marple Curse.
So, yeah, it is. So for those
Nacho
who don't know...
Nacho Man Candy Cabbage.
We might be doing something very shortly with the three Amigos, and we won't get fucking invited now after just listened to this. I know Mars...
I should have read it before.
Mars regularly listens to our pods. I'm sorry, pal. Do you know what?
Mars, I want to know what this is. Nacho Man Candy... I will bring Nachos... candy and cabbage to when we do
Mars,
this.
Just invite me after it. Fuck this prick off, honestly.
Yeah, forget Tottenham. One topic. There's one topic, isn't there? Hazard or Salah in the next 3 to 5 game weeks. I'll hang up and listen. We've talked about it.
Salah's getting 4 against Southampton, so don't fucking matter.
Nah. We've talked about it as much as we...
If it's a question for the next 3 game weeks, it has to be Hazard.
But you can bring Salah back in.
The interest, obviously, is in that third fixture they play each other at Stamford Bridge.
Oof, that's going to be a tough game. Next question coming in from C. Richards 0071. Craig Richards. Leicester have some nice fixtures with attacking fullbacks, but can they be relied upon to keep clean sheets? Otherwise, I'm looking at Doherty from Wolves, a replacement for a disappointing-looking Patrick Van Aanholt. Leicester are a good shout, you know. I think they've gone under the radar.
Defensively, though.
No, but then who's bought defenders this season based on clean sheets? No one. It's the fullbacks that are banging in attacking.
Even Pereira was getting bought early doors, wasn't he? Because he had assists in the first two.
The Everton.
I'd be concerned about the fact that Morgan's still playing instead of Johnny Evans.
Mm.
I don't see that at the moment. Why? Ben Chilwell's been called up for the England squad, as has Damari Gray. I don't know if it's got anything to do with the fact that the game is at Leicester tomorrow night. Might be helpful. They ain't got to go far. Might get injured on the way otherwise.
Yep.
Damari Gray's worth mentioning, along with Maddison.
But they're not defenders. I think he's looking for defenders.
No, I wouldn't look at Leicester defensively.
No. He's mentioning that their fullbacks are getting forward, bombing forward and attacking.
Not for me.
It's just better value elsewhere, isn't it?
Absolutely, like the Wolves lads he's mentioned now.
Exactly.
Yeah, better value. But Leicester, there's a few. Maddison, Gray, and uber differential about to come back. Jamie Vardy at 8.9.
Mm. At FPL_Jim. FPL Jim wants to know, will Watford's stellar run continue or can we still go Hornetless? I think they're going to do all right, you know. I don't think they're going to...
Let's curse them. They're playing Man United.
I don't think it's going to be week in, week out, but I think they'll do a number on most of the lower league teams. They'll finish above ninth, seventh, eighth, ninth, something like that.
They've got more points than that Derby team.
Hmm.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
They've basically... The 12 points on the board essentially means they're not going to get relegated already.
Yeah.
And that's a brilliant position.
Because you can go for it in games, right? You can give it a go.
I don't know if there's any teams ever won, other than maybe possibly yourselves, actually, that year. That, yeah, you and Bolton.
Killed it.
Yeah. Best team ever to get relegated. Unlucky. I don't know if there's a team that's ever won 4 games in a row and gone down. Did someone find that out for me? I'd be interested to know. Mm. Can't be many, if any.
They notoriously have,
in the last few years, started quite well. Something's happened to change that as the season's gone on. Last year, if you remember, they beat sort of Arsenal at home. I went there in November. And I think if they'd have beaten us in November, they went above us, I think. They have started seasons well. The year before was the Deeney and Igalo partnership. So they've started seasons well. They've got a big game this weekend against Manchester United. If they win that, then bless them, you know, they can get carried away properly. And then they can dream of Europe in the same way Burnley have. Let's be realistic.
That's what they're likely to do, right? Another Burnley at best.
Well, that's well open, seventh.
It is.
Well open.
Next question coming in from at FPL Classico. Wants to know, looking forward to this, this podcast. Yeah, good. I'd like to know your opinions on 6 to 7 million rated forwards and 5 to 7.5 million rated midfielders. Owning Zaha, Kearney, Bilva, Pedro at the moment. Also, which 4.5 million goalkeepers would you consider a disappointed Pickford owner? We'll be talking about goalkeepers in terms of the pairings, but you do want to look at Fabianski and McCarthy is what we were talking about. But there are other decent 4.5 million rated options out there.
If you don't need a rotation, I'd go Patricio.
Mm. But otherwise...
And the other thing, I'd want to cover this a bit more on Thursday, but other things to consider are the ones where you can do the Lossell and Hamer. Mm. I think you're looking at Ryan and Button being the other one at Brighton, possibly. My concern with that one is, like I said, Ryan will probably go to the Asian Games in January, and then you might be squeaky bum about it a little bit in terms of who might or might not play. But that's a long way away. I'd go Patricio if you're just going one. The partnership, I'd go Fabianski and McCarthy. What's the rest of the question? Who's he got else? Sounded like
back
decent
up to
players.
6.7 million forwards. At the moment, he has Zaha.
Keep.
Yeah. He's fit. You're going to go sideways to either one of the Bournemouth guys in King or Wilson, or Mitrovic, or Arnautovic. None of them have proven better than Zaha so far.
I've got Zaha in for these fixtures. Unfortunately, I've missed one because of an injury.
Mm.
I've got a couple more before Anton's come off.
Yep.
Who else?
5 to 7.5 million rated midfielders. We have indeed. Really? He's got Kearney, Bilva, Pedro at the moment.
Kearney,
Bilva.
It's interesting. I was listening to FPL Family last night, and Sam's on a wild card, and she was saying that she's possibly holding on to Kearney, which was an interesting thought on that, because he's dropped to 4.9 and doesn't look like he'll be back for the weekend.
Mm.
Bilva, keep. Who's the other one?
Pedro.
Keep.
I think the one that's going under the radar probably of all of them is Schürrle. He's less than 6 million, 5.9. He's banging in the goals last few games. So I think Schürrle is one to potentially consider.
Schürrle, Mitrovic from Fulham.
Mm. And keep your eye on what happens to Richarlison, because if he drops back down to 6.5 before he's back in the team, there's every chance it could happen. It's crazy because he had the biggest price rise and fall so quickly.
Yeah. Just a note on what prices was he saying forwards?
6 to 7.
Oh, so it doesn't include Danny Ings. Just quick on Danny Ings. I'm pretty sure the move from Liverpool to Southampton is a loan currently,
yes,
with a view to being made permanent. So he obviously can't play at Liverpool in game week 6.
Yep.
Just worth noting.
Indeed. Next question coming in from at FPL Chancer. FPL Chancer bracket.
Hello, Dan.
How are you, Dan? The big scary monster that is Champions League. How much of it, or Champions League rotation, how much of it actually in your own heads, is it a big scary monster? Are you worried about Champions League rotation?
Yeah, it's important to consider those that are not under threat of it. And there's not many.
Midfielders and attacking players are less likely to be rotated than fullbacks.
Fullbacks, especially a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have to live with it. Honestly, if in game week 6, Mendy, Robertson, Alonso were all left out, I'd piss myself laughing, even though I've got two of them. It would be funny as fuck.
Of course.
We'd live with it, all scrapping on all what's Wan-Bissaka doing, and what's Bennett doing and all that stuff. Yeah, look, it'd make it interesting. They're the biggest problem of all is fullbacks. You've seen that from Spurs. I think...
It's basically
the groups fullbacks haven't helped as well. So actually, Spurs, Liverpool and United have all got... Spurs, Liverpool and United could all go out in the group stage. They've all got quite a difficult draw. United, not so much. It'll probably depend what they do against Valencia. And the other two, Liverpool and Spurs, will probably just about be favourites to qualify, but could quite conceivably go out. City, ironically, are the one you feel safest with because...
But they're the ones who rotate the most anyway.
But they're the ones also, they've got to do well in that competition. They have to.
I mean, Pep's really going to be up for it. Champions League boils down to, for me, City and fullbacks. Those are the two headaches that I have. I've only got two City players at the moment, Aguero and Mendy, who are as prone to being rotated as anyone else.
Yeah, of course. It's nothing to say. I don't think Mendy played for France last night against Holland. Aguero, nicely, has had a break.
Mm.
So you feel very confident about that this week. I don't think it's a triple captain option, by the way. You feel very comfortable about Aguero for the weekend with that in mind. They also don't play in the Champions League till Wednesday, which is important. So this weekend feels quite safe. So I think you'd be okay this weekend. I think the point I would make on that, don't worry about Arsenal-Chelsea in the ropey, because surely they're going to play weekend teams. You have to be conscious of what they're likely to do, I think, when they've had long away trips on the Thursday, because some of these players have still got to go. But the rotation happens. I think the key one is, I think if Liverpool start rotating in the league and that costs them results, I think that's fucking madness, because I think they've got a great chance.
Agreed with you on that, without a doubt. Next question coming in from @Hugsy Charlie. With the Champions League games coming up, this is very specific. I know we've just talked about Champions League. Would it be a good time to discuss whether you think Lukaku or Aguero is the best 11 million ish option from game week 6 onwards? Aguero the standout, but Lukaku less likely to be rotated. I mean, we spoke about Aguero a little while ago, and we're talking about his consistency every season getting more than 150 points, and all of those seasons have included some Champions League football, at least up until Christmas. And Lukaku is just the one goal wonder, isn't it? I know he scored a couple in the other game, but I think you'd say Aguero over Lukaku is the better option from game week 6 if you're keeping them for the rest of the season.
So it's worth noting, obviously, in 8 it's well documented, Man City go to Anfield, game week 10 they go to Wembley, game week 12 they host Manchester United. But game weeks 9, Burnley at home. Game week 11, Southampton at home. Game week 13, West Ham away. Now, you're quite right. Will Aguero playing those games? Probably depends as and well it fits in around the Champions League and what they're doing there as well. But Aguero could play one of those shit 3 a.m. games and outscore what Lukaku does in the other 6.
Yeah, quite easily. Yeah, I don't think it's a debate for me.
No, it's not.
Good. Okay, we're both agreed. We
certainly
would take
wouldn't go Lukaku anyway. If I wanted to move off for Aguero and I was looking at the fixtures, I'd look more at sort of...
Lacazette.
Yeah, or Bamiyang, the jump to Kane or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be Kane or Lacazette for me. I don't think Aubameyang justifies his price over Lacazette, even though I was a big Aubameyang fan before the start of the season.
One game at the weekend, last week, I was impressed with Lacazette. It doesn't... I think come the end of the season, I think Aubameyang will score more goals. Is it worth it? I think with Arsenal, you're looking at a good run of fixtures now, a short-term period for sort of 2 months. I think you'd be more comfortable hanging your hat on Aubameyang. Personally, if I was going to go for one or two right now, I would go for Lacazette.
Mm.
Just a hunch.
Next question coming in from @deadleg swamp, Ross Kenny. Good Twitter handle @deadleg swamp.
Yeah, I like that.
essential players that can pick and leave all season. He's got two things he wants us to talk about. Let's talk about one and then we'll talk about the other. Essential players that you can pick and leave all season. And then the second thing is common mistakes newbies make. In terms of pick and set and forget, the three that I would say in my squad that are set and forgets at the moment is Robertson, Mendy and Aguero. But I think Ings will end up being a set and forget. And I think Hazard and Mane will end up being set and forgets, depending on, obviously, injuries.
I think the...
Set and forgets generally come from big clubs.
Only person who I could say definitely, if there was no injuries, will definitely be in my squad at the end of the season is Robertson.
You think so? You think Mendy will. And is that because you don't think consistency you'll see from the rest of them?
I think it could be a problem in terms of rotation, especially form. I don't know if it's going to last. We've seen him do some nice things against some average teams. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to last. So there's more questions there. I think Robertson now is over a more sustained period. He's nailed his backup. Moreno's absolutely toilet.
I think the interesting thing with the likes of a Mendy or an Alonso or any premium defenders is if they don't bring you an attacking return, there's just as much chance that they'll bring you a clean sheet. So you're going to get one or the other. So the thing with Mendy and Robertson is they've brought me points every single week so far, both of them.
Yeah.
There's not been a blank week yet for them because it's either attacking or defensive.
If you include and the, if you the get two both. Stupid bonuses for Mendy and Wolves, yeah.
If you double up and you get both in a game week, quid's in, right? That's where people have been doing particularly well.
Well, having Van Dijk's really helps my rank as well, actually. Mm-hmm. It's kind of under the radar to have that go with Robertson.
Yeah.
But set and forgets, and you got to be. I can't say that Salah's going to be in my squad all season.
No.
Not at all. Robertson's the only one I can look at, say hand on heart, yeah, definitely.
Next question.
He's bound to break his fucking leg.
Well, let's go to the second part of the question. Common mistakes that newbies make.
Missing the fucking deadline.
We all do it once a season, but no, missing the deadline.
I've never missed a deadline in my life, mate. Never.
Never?
Never. No way, mate.
I have. But normally what I'll do is I'll set my team early and then obviously just tweak towards the end.
We say it so many times. The first thing you should do when the week starts is set your team for the next week. Oh, have I got a problem here? And you suddenly see you've got like seven players away to top six or something. So yes,
never make transfers drunk and never make transfers in a rage.
That I have done. Yeah. On my second wild card last year, Spurs played at Swansea. It was the blank game week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Salah scored all the goals against Watford.
Four.
I was in a pub at 12 o'clock when I was in the fucking kebab house about 13 hours later trying to nick price rises.
Oh dear.
Yeah, don't transfer when you're drunk.
Definitely not. Next question coming in from Tracy's Rocket, at Tracy's Rocket. Remind us what the game week after the first international break looked like last season. Expectations crushed or exceeded?
Oh, God, I fucking remember now, wouldn't I?
Nah, I can't remember. I should have taken a screen grab of what happened last season.
I'll tell you where I was. I was at Goodison. It was game week four last year, wasn't it?
Mm.
So it was week Goodison. We won 3-0 at Everton. Harry Kane's first goals of the season. Pissed it. It might be a good sign for you this weekend. Who knows, mate?
Mm.
Early game that day was City 5, Liverpool 0. So if you remember, I remember watching it in the pub in Liverpool. There was lots of pissed off Scousers. Mane had kind of been the rage at the start of the season.
Mm.
Had some good returns and then decided to kung fu kick Edison accidentally in the head and got sent off.
Yeah.
City tore it up. Evening game was United at Stoke. I seem to remember one going in off the back of Pogba's head or something, recalls. I think Shaqiri played quite well for Stoke, if I remember. Sunday was Burnley Palace, was De Boer's last game. Couldn't it barn door, could they?
No.
And Nick Pope had got in the team for Burnley. And
if it happened to Palace last season and they were safe, it can happen to West Ham this season.
I'm trying to remember what the other game was that Sunday. It must have been a fucking wet lettuce or something. I can't remember.
Mate, I think the world is already fucking impressed with whatever you remembered so far.
They don't know that. I could be looking at something on my phone.
I'm telling people that they're not. I'm staring at James in awe of the memory.
Is it Swansea and someone? I can't remember.
Well, so 5-0 win for City. It was an interesting result. So it was quite a good scoring game week then, by all intents and purposes. Should have, would have been.
I'd sold Aguero and De Bruyne on the wild card, I think.
Oh.
And they tore it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, shams.
Yeah, so it is what it is. Set your team, hit save team, take a deep breath, cross your fingers.
Yeah.
Last question. Coming in from at BobJohn6968. Bob John wants to know, should you set and forget or rotate keepers? I rotate this season. Last season I was set and forget with David De Gea. This season I'm on rotating keepers. But I think after Liverpool's next run, come game week 8, I might go in for Alisson and then set and forget for a little while.
Personal preference.
Mm. It really is. I like set and forget, but at the moment, no one's keeping consistent clean sheets.
The one thing I would say, and I can only say this from my own personal experience last year of dancing around Hennessy and Spironi quite a bit through my intent to try and have the cheapest goalkeepers at all fucking times, which I will avoid going forward, was having the two from the same team is quite... What I'm saying is if you go, say, Patricio and Hamar,
yep,
and you're feeling shit about Patricio for whatever reason, you could go and move to Fabianski or McCarthy or whatever. When I got stuck with the two from the same team, like if you go, say, Ryan and Button, you feel... If you change one, you'll feel like you've got to change the other, I think. Or you've got to find the funds to get rid of the shit one to then rotate it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Which you don't really want to be doing with keepers. So... My instinct, although we've done it in our differential team, Lossell and Hamar, because we want to kind of... I don't want to go through that Palace thing again. I bet I end up doing it with Brighton.
Bournemouth is
one as well, actually. I think Begovic and Boric you can do it with as well.
I'm a rotator at the moment. If I'm set and forget, I'm only going to set and forget from... either City, Liverpool, United, and it's going to be Liverpool this season, but I don't know when that will happen. Maybe not even until after Christmas.
I think I've had Begovic and Fabianski. I think I've had two where I've gone with... I've had the home goalkeeper each time. I think two have been right. Two I'd have been better off going with the other one.
Yeah. 6-1. Half a dozen of the other.
Fuck it, yeah. That's the only thing. Do you want to have to make that decision every week to go, which one am I going with?
I don't think so. There we go. So
Newcastle at Swansea. I was doing my fucking brain in.
James has just remembered.
Matt Ritchie corner.
Was
it the sales squad?
I couldn't remember.
So. Yeah, that's the other game. Swansea, Newcastle. That's doing my fucking head in.
Go there on. You go. That's it. That's enough for the Twitter questions. And we've been doing a full 90 minutes plus the extra 4 minutes of Fergie's extra time.
And now you know why I only send the request out for Twitter questions
5 minutes before the show.
When we're
this
recording.
Was a full 24 hours ago. So if we have answered your question, please do retweet the show. We'd love it and appreciate it.
Have we covered everybody?
We have.
Even the latest ones? Well, fuck it, we're out
no,
of time.
No, no, no. But I had to draw a line around 5 or whenever it was. Guys, thanks again for listening to the show. We really, really do appreciate all the positive feedback. Do leave us a review on Twitter or comment on SoundCloud or whatever it may be and wherever you are
iTunes,
listening.
5 stars, all that shit.
Yeah, share, comment, like. Come back on Thursday because we will have a preview for game week 5 where we will take into account any other injuries and knocks that occur in the final couple of international matches. We'll be ready to go. If you are on your wild card, fplstatistics.co.uk for your price rises and price falls. Stay on top of it because you will kick yourself if you miss something. Anything else to add?
No, most important thing, particularly for the wild carders, is yes, what you've just said about prices and go with what you believe. It's very easy when you're on a wild card to go with the herd. If you're sort of ahead of the curve at the moment, I think that's fine. If you're behind, you need to come up with some different ideas, but good luck.
And ciao for now.
Good luck. Cue music, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.